Tonight we're in the book of Revelation, the second chapter of the book of Revelation. What we want to do this morning, I'm going to go through one of the letters to the churches that Jesus instructed John to write. I'm going to go through the one with to the church of Ephesus, and I'm more than likely not going to go through each one of these, but I want to go through one of them and kind of give you an idea of what Jesus is doing. He's critiquing the churches, and he is saying what the churches need and what the problem is there. I do believe that this is a picture of the church age also. As each one of them, there's seven churches, and I think that that's included in it anyway. And so we're going to go through that this morning and kind of help us to understand before we get into the rest of it exactly where we are. And so in the book of Revelation, second chapter, let me start reading at verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, if you remember, I can't remember for sure when it was I said this, but at the end of chapter 1, the last verse of chapter 1, he describes the stars and the candlesticks. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, we've talked about before, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but here you have the church here. He's dealing with the church, Jesus is, and he's saying that the angel there, and we do believe that the angel there is for each one of the churches, is the pastor of the church. He's the one that is preaching the word of God, and he's the pastor of the church. And then, of course, as you go on down to the seven golden candlesticks, we are told in chapter 20, or verse 20 of chapter 1, that the candlesticks are the churches. So that'll just kind of give you an idea who he's talking about. He's talking about the leader of the church, talking about the seven different churches. Now, in verse 1, you notice this is the angel of the, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's who it is. He's the one that is that we've already described, and he's the one that has the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, in verse number 3 or verse number 2, we find that he says, "I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars." If you'll notice, and we're going to go ahead and kind of skip down to a few verses here, he speaks really very well of the church of Ephesus. He speaks well of it. In verse number 3, he says, "And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and has not fainted." He said, you've worked, you've labored, you've for my name's sake, and you've not fainted. You've not fell away, you've not stopped, you've done what you're supposed to do. So in verse number 3, and then of course in verse number 6, he says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He said, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I'm going to kind of confess something here. I don't know for sure what the deeds of the Nicolaitans was. We can kind of take a guess at the name itself, and it's speaks of the hierarchy and the lowerarchy. It speaks of those who are in the church and those who are over the church. And I've kind of got a feeling myself that what it is that it's kind of like the Catholic church, where you have the hierarchy and are over the lower part of the church. And he says, I hate that. In other words, it put those down out here, put those up here. And that's not the way God wanted the church run. I think our pastor does a great job in that. And it's the pastor of the church who is to lead the church and to guide the church and to teach the church and do all of that. But God is doing that not to put him up, but because he has put him in a position to do the teaching and training. So what had happened was they had made those that was up here more of importance in the fact that they knew more, they did this, they did that, and that's not the way God wanted it to be run. He wants it to be run as the pastor, teaching the church, training the church. It's what God gives him the messages for. But that is not what the whole purpose was. And so anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. God said he hates that thing. He was not putting those in positions so that they would be considered better than those out here. He was putting them in positions because that's the way God teaches. He teaches to the people, and he has to have someone to do that. And so he's chosen those to do that. Now, in verse number 2, 3, and 6, I had just read those. He certainly talked about how hard workers they were. They labored. They worked. He's critiquing them, and he's telling them exactly where he believes they're at. So you'll notice they had stayed true to the faith. There was no dipping of the flag. There was no stepping back. They had just stayed true to the faith. And that's important that each and every one does that. Okay? You'll hear your pastor say, I've said many times, you know, just because it says that we should do that doesn't mean the pastor's the only one supposed to do that. You know? That's not what it's all about. It's the each and every one of us is supposed to do this. Amen? Each and every one of us is supposed to do this. We're to be a part of this. You see, and we're to stay true, no dipping the flag, no compromising, you know, let's just stick right down the line, just stay with the Bible, Word of God, and just stick with it. Now, another thing that he was very thankful for, I am sure, is in verse number 2, he said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. He said, you don't bear those that are evil. That is very important to the Lord. It should be very important to us. We don't bear those that are evil. Amen? No. We don't do that. We stand for truth. We stand for right, and we don't put up with the evil. We put up with straight truths from the Bible. Amen. That's what we do. And he said, "You tried those that said they were apostles, but they were not." And he said, "And he said they lied. They were not. So you stood up against them." And that's right to do. If you know, you understand what I'm saying? If you if the Word of God says a certain thing, that's what it means. Just whatever the Bible says, you know. And so we just believe that here. But anyway, they were evil, and they could not stand for those that were evil in the church. They would not stand for it, so they stood up against them and found that they were liars. Now, they had patience. I think it is something probably very hard for all of us to have, is patience. And that's why it takes tribulation to get patience. All right? And so God gives us tribulation and causes us then to have patience. He said they had patience. Let me read verse number 2. I know thy works and thy labor, and then he adds on, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And then he goes on to say, and has borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and hast not fainted. No, you've stood up in the midst of trouble and heartaches, and you've just had patience. And that's what God wants us to have. He wants to have patience and stand for right, stand for truth. Amen? Amen? And that means for all of us. You know, I know our pastor's going to lead us, but it means for all of us to stand up for the truth, you see, and have patience. And then, of course, in those verses also, it taught their faithfulness. They have faithfulness. They were faithful people. They just stuck with it. They didn't faint. They didn't fall back. They just stuck with it. Amen? That's what God wants. Just stick with it. Okay? Just stick with it. Amen? I don't see many of you moving your head up and down or anything. But anyway, just stick with it. Just stick in there, stick with it, and it'll be all right. Amen? All right. And then, of course, he says in verse 6 that he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We kind of covered that a little bit there and tried to go over that and cover it. But just remember, just stick with the Bible, what the Bible says. All right? Just stick with the Bible, because it's so easy to get off of what the Word of God says and get off thinking something that you think, or you think it ought to be this or that. Let's just think what the Bible says. Okay, just whatever the Bible says. That's we'll never go wrong when we do that. And then, of course, it says he comes to a thing where he says that he has something against them. And this is in verse number 4 and 5. He has something against them. Okay, now he's spoken well of them, spoken very well of them, and told them what he really felt like they were doing. And when Jesus says it, well, we know it's true. And so in verse number 4, he says, nevertheless, he's already said some wonderful things about them, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, you have left your first love. And after all of these other things that Jesus had spoken about, and how good they seemed to be and was doing, he said, I've got one thing here that I want to talk to you about. He said, you've left your first love. And he said, and let me say to you, to Jesus, that was very important. It's very, very, very important. And after all these other things, the labor, the working, the doing all the things they were doing, he said, but nevertheless, I've got one thing. You've left your first love. Now let's read verse number 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." If you will notice here, Jesus was saying, you've left your first love, and he has a way of restoring that. And it's just something that needs to be done. And the first thing he wants you to do, and you want me to do, is remember where it was we were. You've got to remember back at the beginning, because it's the first works that he's talking about. And you've got to go back there. You've got to remember. You've got to think about it and find out where that first love was. And if you will notice there, he says in verse 5, remember. See, we're very forgetful. Peter admitted that over in the book of Peter. He remembered that he was easy to forget. And I'm saying to you and to I, God is saying to us, remember from whence you were. Just for take a little trip with me, okay? I don't know what year you would be looking at, but I'd be looking in 1966 when I was 26 years old, honey, when I got saved? Yeah. 26 years old. See, you get older, you can't remember it. You have to look over to honey over here, and she has to help you. But I was 26 years of age when I got saved, and I was 30 when I got called to preach. And I got to remember back how I felt when I got saved. That's a good thing for each and every person in here to remember when you got saved and how you felt. I mean, amen. Don't you think that's a good thing to remember back to that time and how you felt and what a desire you had to see other people saved? I mean, am I right? Am I right? Then, well, what he's saying is remember and repent. That's what he's telling us. He's not talking to all the people out here. He's talking, first of all, to me. So now you need to remember and you need to repent. Okay? Am I right? Sure. That's what he said. You see, not looking over at the person next to you or across the aisle or thinking somebody that ought to do this or ought to... No, it's you and I. We ought to repent. Okay? Amen? Remember and repent. That's what he's saying. Okay, so if you will just notice there that, repentance, it means to confess it. That means to confess it and acknowledge it. See, if you want an illustration of this, go to Psalm 32. You find David, the great King David, repenting. And he acknowledged it. He was not saying, my right-hand man or Joab or somebody like that, if it hadn't been for him. No, no, no. He took it on his own. And he repented. Amen? See, all I'm doing is telling you what the Bible says. What happened in the Bible? He says, so remember from where you was, and now repent. See, that was the problem for this church. They had done all right. They was coming along all right, and they was working. They was doing all the things that God said they were. But they had not remembered and repented from where they were. Amen. So what I'm suggesting, with pretty good authority here, to just remember where you've been. No, remember that. And if you're not there, repent. Now, is that okay? Amen. And is that what we should do? It's what we should do, right? Sure. And if we'll do that, if we will, you see, that'll change everything. But now listen to what he says in the rest of verse number 5, okay? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember from whence you've fallen. See, it's so easy. I mean, it is easy, folk, to forget from where we were. I mean, it really is to forget that. But he said, you remember from where you have fallen, okay? And he says, and repent. And then what are you going to do if you repent? Well, you're going to do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So repentance is something that God is saying, Jesus is saying here, absolutely necessary. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely necessary to remember and repent. Okay? All right? And then he says, and I will come unto thee quickly. Do thy first. Or else I will come unto thee quickly. You see, it's going to be something that's going to be speedy. He didn't say I'm going to wait and wait and wait. No, it's going to be speedy. So I'm going to come to you quickly. And he says, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So I'm going to remove the candlesticks out of thy place. I think there's been a lot of candlesticks removed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. What is the purpose of a church? I mean, is it just to get together and just to enjoy being together? Is that the purpose of the church? Or is it to see people saved? See people saved, and of course the things that go on from that. You get people saved, and then you get them baptized, and then you teach them, and they go out and get people saved, and get them baptized, and teach them, and you know it's just a round robin thing that just goes on and on and on. You see, you don't just quit; you just keep going on. Okay, I mean, am I right? Sure. And so what he's saying is, I'm going to do this quickly. Now, what is quickly with the Lord, I don't know, but there is no church in Ephesus now. I mean, hadn't been for a long, long time. In that area where Ephesus was, there isn't any church. It's been gone. Just think about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Just think about if there wasn't any church here anymore in this little area of the country. What if there wasn't? Do you understand what this preacher's saying? Just simply trying to say to you folks, that was not written just for Ephesus. That was written for us. Amen? Amen. I mean, don't you think that goes for us too? So what we've got to do is we've got to make sure that we remember. We remember, and if need be, we need to repent. Amen? Sure. Then he goes on to say, he says in verse, well, we dealt with that in verse 6, but in verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, if you will notice, that word Spirit is capitalized. He's saying the Spirit of God is trying to speak to the churches. And what, if you have an ear, well, I suppose there may be somebody that didn't have an ear, but just about, I would say everybody has ears. It's the way God made us. So he wasn't just talking about if you have an ear. If you have an ear that will listen, then you want to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Now, isn't that right? You want to hear what the Spirit says, the Holy Spirit of God says. Okay? And so he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He said, to him that overcometh. Folks, the only way we can ever overcome is through Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other way we can overcome. He's the overcomer. And the only way we can overcome is through him. I mean, you agree with that? I mean, is this scriptural? Am I telling you what's true? All right, so we know that he is the overcomer. And we must listen to what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right? So today, you listen, you hear, and you ask yourself, did the Spirit use Brother Ross to teach us what Jesus told John? I mean, that's what needs to be. Okay? And that's what you need to listen to. And if it is, you need and I need to listen to it. Right? And to mind it. And to listen to it and hear. So, first of all, does there need something to be remembered in your life? Back when you first got saved, do you remember how you were, how you felt? Do you remember the joy of salvation? You remember when David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation? He had lost the joy of his salvation. But he wasn't satisfied with that. No, no, no. He wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted that restored unto him. Didn't he? And should not be that our desire? Shouldn't it not? You see, it's so easy. I'm serious. Now listen to me. It's so easy to look at the person next to you or think about somebody else that, boy, really needs the joy. God's not talking about, he's talking about you and me. We're the ones that need the joy restored. Amen? Don't you agree with that? You see, and that's where you'll find that you'll come to repentance. Say, not somebody else come to repentance. They'll have to take care of their own. But you and I need to come to repentance and get that joy restored. You agree with that? Wouldn't that be a good way to protect the church? Amen. Wouldn't that be a good way to protect Blessed Hope Baptist Church for years to come if we'd all just remember to remember. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Well, why don't we do it? Amen. Why don't we just do that individually? Do that. Okay? Father, I want to thank you today. You're good to us. You're kind to us. You're gracious and merciful and loving. Thank you so much for helping us this morning as we just taught this lesson. I pray that you work in my heart, Lord, and deal with me to remember where I was, Lord, when I first got saved. And I loved the Lord and wanted to see people saved. And Father, help me to repent, Lord, and go back to those days and be what I should be, that we would always be looking forward to seeing folks saved and brought to Christ and then to be baptized and to be helped and taught. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.